life on the mission field. Just exactly what does it look like? Well, we have a bird's eye view here in the book of Acts as we turn to chapter 13, focusing in once again on verses 1 through 12. Life on the mission field, the Apostle Paul. It's there that we get a glimpse at some of the challenges and some of the joys that face us as believers when we embrace the call of missions. Join us for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. Let's catch up with our teacher and pastor again here in Acts chapter 13. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's program.
The first words on Paul's missionary journey, first missionary journey, are some of the most stunning rebukes I read in the whole New Testament. Did you hear him? We'll come back to that. He is giving you, the Holy Spirit, a window into what the apostles saw was the most dangerous threat to what we're doing. It's what the church needs to understand is the most pressing threat to what we're doing. Here's the thought I couldn't get away from. We don't see in Acts anywhere else where Paul and the apostles are confronting people over emperor worship, which was everywhere at the time. Nothing like Jupiter or Rome and all that, where we have major responses like this. It's just not there. There's one instance that's close, but it's a very kind response. Here was their most aggressive response to opposition. What was it? What is this? Did you notice something else? The third thing was said about him? So far, Bar Jesus, false prophet, magician. Third, he's a Jew. This figure came right out of Judaism. False prophet who was undermining the true Jesus, who practiced magic. You know what magicians did in those days? Magicians were those who would evoke the dead. They would bring back the spirits of deceased loved ones. The biggest thing was they would predict the future. They would talk a lot about the future and be interested in things like astrology and spells and magic and all the stuff that we would say, oh, come on, weird. What is this? Syncretism. You know what syncretism is? Combining everything of every religion and bringing it together in one. Joining it together with the occult practices with a form Judaism. He combined all the worlds. Orthodox outwardly, false prophet in message, and occultist in practice. That is one powerful figure. That is one guy to be reckoned with. Everyone in their culture was conscious of the Eastern religions, the Oriental mystic religions, and all this stuff. They were concerned, they were most concerned in the church with the popular religions of the day that had a Jewish overlay, not Roman, because of their history with Judaism. They were not as concerned about the external threats as they were the internal. I think this is what informed Paul's later plea to the church in Ephesus. When I leave, I warned you day and night for 3 years with tears. Why? Because savage wolves, fierce wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. And from among you, there will be those who rise up, men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after themselves. This is going to go on. So put it together. If you can take a form which looks orthodox, and combine it with a false message, and borrow all the stuff from the Greek religions and Roman religions of magic that attracts people, you have one powerful syncretistic religion that is hard to overcome. Apply it. Let's apply this. This is what concerns me today. This is what most concerns me right here. How? Well, if we can take the label Christian and we can come with a message that's nothing about the true Jesus, but comes in the name of a Jesus, a different Jesus that has not been preached, and combined it with all the sensuality of the world, oh man, you have got one powerful syncretistic thing called Christianity. See it? Someone said to me the other day, the greatest challenge we're going to face in our future, in our country, is not getting rid of Jesus, but reinventing and recreating Jesus. Well, I thought to myself, much of the evangelical church has been doing that for a long time. Combine bar Jesus with a sensuality, all the sensuality you can get. I mean, what is the one question that drives people today when they come to the worship of Jesus? What is it? Is it about the truth? Is it about the word? Or is it this question? How did you feel? Isn't that it? Did you feel good? Did it do something for you that way? Based on what? Well, I'm not popping bunnies out of hats, right? Entertained. This is the magic of our day. Entertainment is the magic of our day. We love magic. We live for magic. Why? It wows. You ever seen a real magician? It wows. There's a sense of something mysterious about it. There's a sense of something unknown. Something exciting is going to happen. Three things. We love today a Jesus who doesn't judge sin. We love a message that tells us only what we want to hear. We love smooth talk. We call it Christian, and we make it as sensual as we can make it. This is the greatest threat. This is the greatest threat. Meet bar Jesus. Meet him. Study him. But his name is Elymas, charlatan. False. Magician. See what Paul's doing, or what Luke, the recorder, is doing here? I'm not going to call him Jesus. Here's his name. They're calling him Jesus. Here's his name. Charlatan. I find it interesting at this point that Luke then now changes Paul's name. Right here. There's a name thing going on. How can you miss it? Notice that there. Elymas means magician, phony, charlatan. And he mentions in that context now the name change of Saul to Paul. And people have made way more of that than they should. It's merely using the Roman name, but it's important because the Roman name means what? Paul. Humble. Small. And all I could walk away with is say, you see a vast difference between the false teacher and the true. In the aim and the scope and the purpose and the person in the ministry. One leads people to hell, the other leads people to Jesus, the true Jesus. One leads people to hell with a false Jesus, the other leads people to heaven with the true. This is our battle. But there's another thought worth considering here. This was an impossible battle. This was an impossible battle. I mean, the syncretism offered everything, not only sensual, but ritual. Elaborate sacrifices. Incense. Prostitution. You name it, all brought together into one big bag. I could go on with everything sensual. It can be on both sides of the aisle. It can be overly formalistic with all the incense burning, and then it can be everything loose you can imagine all jumbled up together into one. Here is the one. Now, here's, here's the struggle. Think of last week, Herod, 2 weeks ago, Herod and the church. The church has prayer and the word. Herod has the sword and prison, and the church overcomes. Look at this battle. Everything that attracts humanity, everything that grips them against the knowledge of the true Jesus. And Paul and Barnabas, what are they offering? What? Where's the magic? Think about it. All the sensuality of the world, they're offering no temples. You don't walk into anything beautiful and grand of a grand temple like they did, where you could find God there in the temple, localized in a building. No rituals, no magic, no images. You don't find it in Acts. Where do you find one? Nothing sensual. The church was gathering in homes. It was so simple. It was so simple. The ministry of the word, the breaking of bread and prayer. All they did was went around preaching Jesus, called people to fellowship and love. It's boring. It's boring. Right? No, it's not. You know what happened in the next few centuries with Rome? This is where I think it gets really historically interesting. The Roman culture became so burned out on the sensuality of it all. Tell me if you don't apply this to America right now. The Roman culture became so burned out on the sensuality of it all, Christianity became accepted by the masses as most appealing because of its simplicity. So that, and I'm not saying this was a good thing, so that Constantine would make it the state religion. You think we're on a fast track to burnout? I do. I think we have an open door in our culture right now, in the church culture. What I'm saying is none of the stuff that we actually think answers what we think attracts people actually satisfies or answers their needs. Bar Jesus did nothing for Sergius Paulus. Nothing. Except maybe made him feel good for the moment. But we live on the wrong assumptions today that so many people think that the ministry, so many people do, the ministry syncretistically thinking that this is what people want. And you know what? It's not true. It's just not true. There was just an article in the Washington Post that said, if you want proof of that, the mainline liberal churches are all dying at rapid, rapid rates. And lo and behold, guess what churches are growing right now? The conservative churches. I'm not making a case for blanket, ugly conservatism. I'm promoting what Acts is showing us here, people who know what they believe and why they believe it and practice it, and as an answer, and know that Jesus saves. The simplicity of the gospel ministry. That's what the Reformation brought back, you know. Rome had fallen into this trap. Everything was sensual. And they tore down the idols. And they preached the cross. Simple preaching, fellowship, prayer, Lord's Supper. He even knows you're weak, so he gives you two sacraments, doesn't he? And through this making known of Jesus, people are delivered and satisfied. I want you to see how Paul handled this threat. That's where it goes, doesn't it? How did Paul deal with this? Are you ready? Bar Jesus pulls aside Sergius Paulus and says, they're liars. This is what false prophets do. They get angry like we looked at in Jude. And they attack and they pull people away from the faith. Stay away from them. But Saul, who was also called Paul, the humble one, I love that he puts it right here, because whatever I'm about to read, you would say that does not seem very humble. It's as humble as it gets. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, So this is the Spirit now about to speak. Looked intently at him. You think it was, you know, what was it? It was a glare. You son of the devil. You enemy of all unrighteousness or all righteousness. Full of deceit and villainy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? That does not pass the American test for niceness. Does it? You're not a son of salvation, you're a son of Satan. And you're an enemy of everything that's right, and you are full of villainy. What an indictment. You, the last one is the biggest, make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. Remember, John the Baptist made straight the paths of the Lord. This guy was making them crooked, meaning that his whole ministry was pulling people away from Jesus. There is what Jude has been telling us. We've come preaching the cross. You're making that way crooked. There is no time for this in the New Testament. You see the threat? The encouragement here is what I said at the beginning. The church grows through those who are willing to be discerning, contend, and warn against this stuff. We have to be willing to say to syncretists in our day, they're perverting the way. You have to be willing to oppose those who stand in the way of Jesus. The Lord is saying the churches who stand in the truth, who stand for something, who are willing to count the cost, are the ones that will grow. And don't you love to see that again here? That through all this opposition, all this conflict, conflict keeps coming. Notice, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. Immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. The Lord will always undermine the wisdom of the wise. We look at this and think, how can we battle this stuff today? I look at that. I struggle with that as a pastor. I face all the same pressures because I think sometimes you do. You feel like, are we just stuck doing something the same thing over and over, over and over? Same old songs, same old preaching, same old thing. Everybody's reinventing. And I struggle with contentment myself there. I really do. But Acts, you see, is the greatest help for us, isn't it? Nothing is what it seems. Guess who's watching all this? Somebody here is watching and hearing all this right now, who's pondering it and thinking a lot about it. Who is Sergius Paulus? Right here, right now. You are Sergius Paulus. And guess what's just happened? Something very powerful. A battle has just been won. I'm convinced of it. Two Christs were just set side by side. You would think Sergius Paulus would say, wow, look at the magic of this Christ. Right? It's not what he said. What is recorded? Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at what? That a mist fell? At the teaching of the Lord. There's a power nobody can stop. And when you come into contact with the Word of God, the preaching of Jesus, the teaching of the Lord, it'll rock your life. It won him. It was the message that took him. The message that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, had died and got up out of the grave. Who's ever heard of that? What Jesus, false Jesus, has ever been able to do that? And all power and authority has been given to him. And he's seated. And whoever repents and believes the gospel will be saved from hell and the judgment of God. He reigns. He has power. And that message delivers. because the Holy Spirit works in it. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it? God just converted the proconsul of the whole region. And many people came into the faith because of it. I come back to my original thought. We close right now. The church back at Antioch gave a great gift. The church at Antioch was a blessing to the ends of the earth. We're in this struggle together. But the word of the Lord will always prevail. You learned what's going on in any mission field, and this is a mission field. Wherever the word of the Lord is, wherever Jesus is preached, there the church is, there is real power. And God promises to you today to bless that, to strengthen you in that, and to save people through that, no matter what's going on and how attracted we are to everything else. He is telling us, stay here. We should have confidence in the gospel, confidence in the name of Jesus Christ, and that He is able to save and shatter the chains that people are under. So maybe we should pray a lot more, right? Pray and fast a lot more. I always thought, what if we called the church to a fast? You'd think we're weird. Who does that today? Pray and fast. Be diligent to stand for the truth of the gospel. May God give us all grace to fulfill our calling as the Escondido United Reformed Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful section of Scripture. It's humbling to see Your work, Your wisdom, Your power unfold against the powers of this age, the crafty workers of darkness. And as we study in this figure, we see all these things today. But we're not so arrogant to think that we don't fall into this. We do. Keep us, Lord, from Bar Jesus, the false prophet. Keep us from magic. Keep us from a form that denies the true power of God, a form of Christianity that denies the true power. And let us rest in Your wonderful promises, knowing that in the Word of God, in the gospel proclaimed, there is indeed power to shatter the enemy, and that You will prevail in saving a people, and not one will be lost. Give us as a church to understand this, to be thankful, to not lose heart. Thank You for Your work in this place. Encourage Your church here today of what You're doing, and let us be overjoyed in the truth, being willing to stand firm and contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are out of time today. We'll close today's program out, but look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.